like to welcome each one to the service in memory of Brother Andy. Andrew J. Steiner, son of Wilbur and Ann Steiner, was born in Ohio, August 7, 1969. In 1991, he moved to Delaware, Maryland area, where he made his home and worked in lawn care. In 2017, he relocated to Monett, Missouri area, where he resided until his passing following an automobile accident. In Monett, he made many new friends and lived and worked with the brethren at the Church of Monett. He is survived by his parents, one brother, Wendell, of Ohio, two sisters, Jane of Iowa, and Beth, Galen Eberly, and eight nieces and nephews, all of Ohio. No matter where he lived, he was a very helpful person and had many friends. When Andy moved here, I didn't know him. He was completely new to me, and Marcus had known him for many years, and Wilbur knew him and their families. But over the years, we got closer and closer. More of the brethren got to know him and to appreciate him in many ways. About probably 6 months ago or so, one of my daughters said to my wife, "I wonder if he was an angel sent among us." Scripture says in Hebrews 13, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. And not all angels have white wings and a halo." And it was interesting at times to when he first moved here, shortly after that, we were building a building over here for Brother David. And there was we were building it right close to the fence. And on just the other side of the barbed wire fence was an electric wire. And so we had to frame the building just as close as we could. And so we had to put metal on the building. And Andy was handing the metal over the fence to Brother Olin. And Olin was very carefully sliding that metal between the fence and the frame of the building. And Andy would look, after he handed it to him and he was over there placing it, Andy would poke his head around the corner and go, and it was just, what was comical about it to me was that he did it not just a couple times. He just kept doing it. And after a while, Brother Olin was kind of like, okay, you know, that's enough. But then, and he was full of pranks and always doing those kinds of things. But on the other side of all that, he was very willing to help, very willing to chip in, and just, if there was something to do, he wanted to just, and he did it all the way. He did it, you know, he'd be one of the last ones to leave whenever there's something to, a project to be done, whether it be helping Wilbur on the farm or us at the shop, or he worked for us, and he was our warehouse manager, we called him, and he did a good job. And last Friday a week ago was his last day there, he wanted to leave early, and I was always trying to get him to, because he had nothing much to do there, and I was always trying to get him to stay longer so he could have more hours or whatever, you know. And I said, well, just It's just 20 minutes. Just sit here and swat flies if you want to, because we had flies in the office. And so he stayed. And then as he was leaving, I said, God bless you. Be careful. And he goes, plan to see you Monday. He said, that's planned. That didn't happen. So we appreciate our 8 years that we were able to be with him. And we're thankful for having known him. And actually, I think he taught us a lot. Brother Marcus will be leading us in some hymns.
We're going to begin with the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Andy's parents asked for this hymn to be sung today.
Yes, yes.
going to ask an uncle of Andy's, Brother Dean Good, to come to the mic and make any comments he would like to and lead us in a prayer.
Welcome to each one as we've gathered here this morning. As the brother shared, we're gathered here to remembrance of Andy Steiner. As I look across the crowd like this, I wonder, how did Andy touch your life? How did you touch Andy's life? A lot of thoughts and a lot of things we could reflect on today. But the love of God is an amazing thing, and I want, as we gather together and we're here, God has gathered us together to grieve together. But more importantly, to be anchored in Jesus Christ and to find rest for our souls and direction for our lives, to continue on in the work that He has given for us. Last Sunday morning started out as a normal morning for Andy, helping someone the way he went. But in 1 Corinthians 15, Apostle Paul wrote about the resurrection and about in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead would be raised and we that are alive, this passage doesn't bring out the thought of being caught up together, but that we will all be changed. And last Sunday morning brought a great change to Andy's life. It brought the end of choice for him. Just very thankful this morning for the love of God and that we commit all things into His hands. He is just, He is right, He is perfect. The important thing for us today as we're gathered together here is to consider where we are, and when that moment and that twinkling of an eye comes, I'm sure that Andy didn't expect that day to end as it did. None of you or I have the promise that today will end with us alive. And the rapture could come before this service is over. And I've heard some discussion about Andy. Where was Andy with the Lord? The question this morning is, where are you with the Lord? And where am I with the Lord? Andy's days of choice are over, but for us, the day of choice is here. If we've walked with the Lord, maybe for many, many years, we still need to choose to walk with Him today, to continue that journey on and let Him be our guide. And if we've never chosen to walk with Him, and it's an opportunity as we grieve together today, God wants us to grieve, but He also wants us to rejoice in Him. And we can find rest for our souls in a rock, Christ Jesus. The end of chapter 15 there in 1 Corinthians. Paul finishes that chapter and he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And I would just like us to go into this service today with the realization that whatever we do in the labor of the Lord is not in vain. Dan and Wilbur, You started this journey, poured time, effort into that. And along the way, he touched others of our lives. See, Brother Dana, many years of Andy touching your life.
Yeah.
On down to the church here. The challenge to us today is not to wonder. We cannot change anything for Andy. We cannot change the judgment of God. We commit all things into His hands. Are we going to commit ourselves into His hands to guide our lives? And to continue on in the labor, in the work of the Lord. And I think sometimes we get sidetracked in life and we see it as our labor. And we look at the fruits of our labor and we're disappointed. But when we focus on it as the labor of the Lord, and knowing that that labor will not be in vain, that it is His, we are just vessels in His hand to be filled with the love of God and then to be poured out. And certainly if there was something to learn from Andy, was the pouring out of love and servanthood. The greatest example in history of servanthood was our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we're gathered together today to grieve together, to find rest in Him and just commit all things to Him, I think we should just bow our heads together here and just lift our hearts. Just ask Him to help us to grieve well, but to be blessed in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning. Thank You. Thank You for being a God that knows all things. We just want to thank You this morning that You don't take all hard things away in life. Sometimes we have that dream that life with You will be perfect. Because there will be no sorrow. There will be no challenges. There will be no not knowing. But life is perfect in You when we see ourselves in need of You. When we see You and feel You there to guide us through the imperfections and the challenges of life. And maybe more importantly, when we find ourselves needing to just go on into the unknown. You ask us to take one more step of faith, which is always into the unknown. And we can go there on our own. Or we can go there with You, Lord Jesus, as a faithful shepherd and guide to walk through the blessings and the challenges of life. Give us the vision of Jesus today. That His love was so great, there's no end to the writing of it. He not only died, but He gave Himself in the garden. So He wrestled with His flesh, and He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done." Father, might Your will be done today as Your Holy Spirit works within each one of our hearts here. Might it give us courage to go on in the labor of You, or may it give us courage to step out into the unknown, into faith for that first day, that first moment of walking with You and to say, "Commit my life to You today." And we leave this place committed just to walking with You, Lord Jesus, because You are a faithful guide and You alone can get us home. Father, thank You for Your never-ending love. We ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd like to open it now for your time to share something you remember about Andy. Just open mic. So maybe we'll ask Leon Steiner to read Andy's cousin's poem Denise wrote here. So you can start us off, and then anyone feel free to share something.
Title of the poem is Andy's Cousins Remember, a story read to little ones or frequent call to cousin friends, his love to chat and interact, his willing helping hands to lend. Now this was Andy's way. A hello, sister, when he called, just thought I'd tell you what's going on. When thanked, no problem, he replied, I'll talk to you later. When he was done, off this would Andy say. He'd roast a hot dog on the fire, or toast marshmallows black in flame, buy gum for cousins who would ask, or ride a bike down Grandpa's lane, to Bible school for many terms, or take his cousins, bring them home, to travel state to state, no map, directions sensed and landmarks known. Oh, this made Andy's day. He washed our van with music loud, or helped to milk the dairy cows. He fed our calves with knowing care, assisted getting hay to mouths. With water hot that we couldn't stand, he washed our dishes, mopped our floors, a handy Andy, usefulness in lawn care or in barnyard chores. All this during Andy's stay. The times he showed up at our door, his cheerfulness, the laugh of his willingness to help us more, his big, big smile we all will miss since Andy's gone away.
Is open. Come forward if you have something to share.
Andy, just dear old Andy, always helpful. Just constantly helping. I worked on the door crew there. He was always bringing us stuff. We'd forget something or something would come up, but he'd drive an hour or so the one way and then turn around and go right back. Then he'd have to go an hour or so the other way sometimes. And he'd always just, no problem. He would be a little tired from the long drive, but he'd jump right back in and go back. And he was just, I don't know, it's been a couple days or so now, and the shop's already a wreck without him. He's cleaning up, just always helping. So it's just, and never, I don't know, just the importance of himself was not a big thing. Like we tend to get ourselves in the way all the time, but he was just always helping, whether just helping everybody, and I don't know, just there's a lot to learn. Thank you.
Thank you.
I thought I could do this. Andy had a big heart. It didn't matter if he didn't have a dime and you needed something, he'd find some way to help you out. When I wasn't able to do a lot of work very much anymore and needed firewood, he would make sure the boys would round it up and could help out. And if I needed some kindling, when he was working for the Wilburn, Kevin, he would call me about almost every 2 weeks and say, "I'm getting ready to cut pallets. You need some kindling." He taught me a lot. He taught me that you just, even if you don't have it, just go ahead and give it because it's in your heart. He's going to really be missed.
Just wanted to say that Andy was a real blessing to us while he's here. Andy had his ups and downs. I think just like we all do, struggled with the same things we all struggle with. But he always had a real glimmer of hope. He also just loved to be around people. He loved having friends. Most of you know he wasn't married, and I think he spent a lot of time alone. So anytime he had a chance to be with people, he took it. And he loved having friends. He just loved being apart. I think I remember at Work Bees and things, he'd always be there. It was just so much fun for him, and it just, you could see the joy in his face when you were about to need a screw or a drill or a hammer, and he'd hand it right to you before you asked for it. Anyway, he did that a lot for a lot of people, he is going to be missed.
Marcus Rohr, knew Andy since I was 16 years old, we became friends. Something drew us together, it was a little over 8 years ago. It was in February of 2017 that he decided he wanted to move here to Monette to be close to me, and it's an honor and a privilege to have worked with him and had him living for a number of years on our property at our automotive shop. He helped us for a time in the automotive shop as well. Thankful for him in my life. Andy loved eggnog. He would, when that came in season around Christmas, he would be the first one to get it, I think, off the shelves at the store. And he would bring it to any occasion over that time, wherever he was invited to, in one of our homes or here to the church, bring plenty. There'd be a number of jugs left over of eggnog. Another thing, just a little thing, when he would eat at our house, he would always, at the close of the meal, when he'd get up, he would turn to Monica and say, "Muchas gracias." He knew Monica had spent time in Guatemala before we were married, and she was proficient in Spanish, and he thinks of her in that way and always addressed her that way.
I've just got a little thing to share. For a little while there, Andy was working at George's, which is a chicken processing plant. And I'd ask him, you know, how's it going there? And first time I asked him that, I assumed he'd say, man, it's rough, you know. But he said he really enjoyed it. He just really enjoyed working in a, you know, not the greatest environment inside the refrigerator and cutting meat all day, but I think a big part of the reason was he got to be around people that he felt like he could potentially help. And that's just who he was.
Nunes, one of a cousin of Andy, and probably a lot of things that I have to say has probably been said already. I knew Andy, I'm not quite sure when I started knowing Andy, I probably just kind of knew him. He was a little older than I was, but one of the things I remember was is that we would go to Grandpa and Grandma, which was Elmer and Esther Good. There for a few years, they would have us, for our birthdays, they would have us at their place for overnight. And somehow, it always, a couple times there, it was Andy and I that were together. I'll never forget that. One of the things that I would like to say, and that is simply this. As I look back on my growing up years, there was a sentiment in the community that I grew up with that those that were, could we say, a little less fortunate were taken care of. And sometimes I'm not sure who is less fortunate, but I just want to thank you as my parents and those that are older, those that were of that age, for giving us a good example. And I feel like I've failed a lot in that, but at the same time, it developed in me a heart that cared about other people. One of the passages in Scripture that has stood out to me probably more than a lot of others is the fact that when Paul called the leaders of Ephesus, there they were. The Bible could have recorded that they talked about a lot of really important things. But Paul ended up that discourse by saying something that is so simple and yet is so profound. He quoted there the words of the Lord Jesus that is quoted nowhere else in Scripture when he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And the challenge I have in my life is where do I shake out in that? Brother Clarence Nunes, one of my great uncle, used to say, probably he might still say it, I don't know. But he said, in the light of eternity, how does it all stack up? You know, it was said already by different ones that it's our opportunity today. God bless each one.
Peter Bentz. I've known Andy off and on for a long time. Several years ago, I went to the fold, Shepherd's Fold. I learned many things there. And a lot of things kept on coming back to me. A lot of my discussions with Andy, Andy's discussions with me. One of the things that I learned was Galatians 6, 1 through 6. We're here to help one another out. When there is fault with someone, we should remind them and then help them through their problems. Andy and I've been back now for almost 2 years. We went back and forth with many discussions. Some of them I was doing wrong. Some of them I felt he was doing wrong. But one of the best things that I liked about Andy, he was so happy, even though that I was saying something that he really didn't want to hear, or vice versa. I will always remember my conversations with Andy, how happy he was, how much he wanted to help everybody out, even if he was not happy at that moment in time. He has shown me a lot in a couple of years that I've been here and talked to him, and I really appreciated him.
I'm one of the many friends, excuse me, Andy made through his life. My name is Michael Smith. I hark from his Highland days, same as Dana, and there's a number of the Highland folk here. I'm glad to see you. He was a wonderful friend. And I knew him when his heart was tender, and he was in his heyday then, it seemed. He lived with us a couple years on the hog farm there, and whether it was hauling manure or whatever, he was right there, just ready to do it, ready to be part of it. I don't know, you have to tell me, those of you who know him since, did he still have his little short cough that he did? As my mind played back after I heard of his passing, numbers of things kept coming out. I was watching the pictures here of him, his huge smile, the way he was just there for people. He loved people. Also, there was 10 years between us. He came, I think he was 21 when he came to. As it says, Delaware, I thought of it, he came to Maryland because it's the side of the line I lived on, and the side of the line he was on a lot of the time. Yeah, he'd go work for Dana through the day and then come home and still put in a couple hours messing around doing this and that with the rest of us. If we had people at church that needed picked up and brought to church, maybe community folk or whatever, you could count on Andy doing it, volunteering. I mean, even if it inconvenienced him terribly, he'd do it. It was just Andy. I remember riding around in his gray Cutlass Sierra, his first car. He wasn't allowed to get his license there for a while, so he was 21, I was 11, and I don't think he got a car till he was 24, got his license till he was 24, 25. But he did prove to be a good operator. He could handle himself well on the road. And we drive along. He introduced me to his music. Grassy Ridge, his quartet, was one I remember with fondness. Miller Four and some things. And I didn't like his music taste, and he didn't like mine. And we argued about it. And he could hold up his end, and I tried to hold up my end and enlighten him. And it didn't work. You couldn't tell Andy things he didn't want to hear. I suspect he was like that right up through to the end. But he was a dear brother and a friend that stuck closer than a brother at times. And if he was here, I would thank him. In some ways, I feel that we made the trip here. But the person I really wanted to see, I can't talk to. But I appreciate what your church here has done for Andy and helping him find his way back. He had a dark spell there. And I would like to think that if I'm faithful, we'll meet again. God bless you all, and maybe keep looking to Christ as we go further through the service.
Let's sing on the second page, Somebody Did It, Lord, Indeed.
Morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's been a real blessing to be here and meet a lot of new folks and a lot of people that just had one thing in common, that we knew Andy or Ange. I called him Ange, but we appreciate everyone being here and sharing with how he touched each of our lives. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you've helped us, Father. And Lord, we just ask this morning that you'd fill us with your Spirit, God. That you'd give us wisdom, Father, as we spend this time in your word, Father, and reflecting. Lord, we thank you for Andy being among us. We just ask you, Lord, to help us. You've given us this reminder, Father, of the fragile life is. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us take heed to that. Lord, again, we just thank you, Lord. Give us wisdom, Father, again. We just thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'll want to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Not everybody knows this, but 7 years ago today, I got the news that my 26-year-old son had taken his own life. There's a saw in the back room. Probably saw it. Andy made that for me. Shortly after Hunter died. Andy was just thoughtful about things like that. Maybe couldn't tell you why, but he was just thoughtful of things like that. I just appreciated him for that. I'm going to read here in Matthew chapter 25. Says verse 31, says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he would put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger, and you invited me. Yeah. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry
and feed you or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? You know, I want to stop there just for a moment. You know, sometimes we get caught up in our theology or our religion or how I think I'm going to be with God or if I'm saved or just all kinds of things, you know, that we can kind of run down that rabbit trail. You know, we wonder sometimes and question, you know, well, maybe somebody didn't have their life just all the way we think it should have been. Talk to some of the people, you know, that, and I just, the Lord is who we're going to stand before on that day, on the judgment day. What brings this out to me is these righteous that had been separated, you know, they said, Lord, when did we do all of these things? You know, their theology is just going to be kind of melted all away at that point. We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we try to point out often is that when we stand before the Lord, we're going to be there all by ourselves. And one of the things that if you look at the teachings of Jesus and you read the teachings of Jesus, you know, we think about the judgment and we think, well, there's just going to be this book or something of laws and he's going to tick off this and that and whatever we've done. That's not how he's going to be the judge. You know, when we see his teachings and his writings, we hear what Jesus said. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. He talks about forgiveness, and he said, you're going to be forgiven like you forgive. You know, we are creating the attitude Jesus is going to have towards us when we stand on judgment day, when we stand before the Lord. And the severity or the mercy or all of those things are going to be reflected back on us the way we've lived. That's going to be our judge. You know, some people say, well, did I do, you know, it's going to be who we are. You know, one of the brothers said something about, you know, his time of choice is gone. And it is. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, as the tree falleth, so shall it lie. And then it said, it goes on to explain, it says, let the righteous be righteous still, and the holy be holy still, and the filthy be filthy still. You know, there's a lot of people think that just because they believe that Jesus died for them, you know, and they believe his blood was shed for them, that's good. But then they live their lives however they want to. But the way I understand the Bible, the way I see that the power that Jesus gave us when he died to set us free from the bondage of sin, set us free from ourselves, he gave us the power to become the sons of God. And that's what he died for. So that we could actually be transformed and show a little bit of a reflection of his own image on this earth to this wicked world. So that you and I, you know, our purpose here is to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of the world. You know, I think that really the only way that we can know love is because we've tasted it. We love God because He first loved us. We can forgive because we've been forgiven. We can have mercy because we've tasted mercy. You know, the parable, the one time Jesus told the story about a man who had been forgiven, and he went out and found somebody who owed him, and he drug him in before the law, and I want every last penny. And Jesus sent his servants out, or he tells the story about how he sent the people, men back out, and they he said, bring that one back in. And he said, everything that you owe, you'll now pay. Because I forgave you, and then you went, you turned right around and wouldn't forgive someone just doing a small thing. The idea is, you and I are creating our own judgment. We have the time to be like Christ. You know, sometimes we kind of get the idea that, you know, we're pretty holy. You know, I don't do this and I don't do that. But, you know, the reality is we're going to be judged by how we love our neighbor and treat our neighbor. One of the things that Jesus taught, they were all talking about the laws, and Jesus said, all of the laws and all of the prophets, everything hangs on these two things. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, those sound, it's very simple, a sounding thing. But when it comes right down to doing it, it's pretty different. We can be religious. There's people all over the world, all kinds of religious, that wouldn't dare do a bad thing hardly sometimes. But it's our relationship one with another that shows us who we really are. I want to read this next verse. It says, the king will answer and say unto them, truly I say unto you, to the extent that you did it to one of these my brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it unto me. You know, it's pretty easy for us to get set in our different religious camps. But you know, there's not going to be all kinds of different religions in heaven. It's going to be people who heard Jesus' words and did them. That's just all there is to it. He that heareth these sayings of mine and does them, that's who's built their house upon a rock. To the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. You know, I think we forget sometimes that Jesus Christ came as a man into this world. God Himself, our Creator, came into this world as a man, and He walked among men. A man that was a man like God wanted a man to be. He just gave Himself to the Lord and gave Himself to humanity. And that's all God expects of us. You know, sometimes we kind of get caught up in perfection, or what we think of perfection, you know. Tell the story, you know, that a lot of times we get trouble that, you know, Jesus actually, the Bible says, actually tells us that be ye perfect as your Father in heaven. And it's as a response to how he forgives us and how he deals with us. You know, we forget that so often. We're right and they're wrong and somebody did me wrong, and we get kind of caught up on justice sometimes instead of turning the other cheek and being full of mercy and being full of patience. You know, if we have a God that's full of justice, guess what kind of judge we're going to have? I'm thankful that God is good and he's merciful and he's full of love and he is full of forgiveness. But if we don't reflect that same thing that he's given us, we're just going to get a bunch of religion right back in our face. One of the brothers mentioned that, or one of the girls, I think, mentioned that maybe Andy was an angel among us. You know, people have the idea that there's a perfect church here on this earth, and I believe there can be. But you know, the perfect church has people in it that are weak. There's a verse in Romans that says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those who are without strength, and not just to please ourselves. Romans 14 says, now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on you. That's verse 14 in Romans, verse 1, and Romans 15, verse 1. Two different times there, just talking about. In other words, churches are going to have weak people in them. People that will bring out the bad side of me and you and other people sometimes. And, you know, we want to think, well, that person's not very perfect. He has some problems. And I think maybe God just puts those people here sometimes to kind of show us that, to see how we're going to act and how we're going to respond. You know, there's another verse that says, that we're talking about forgiven 7 times 7, and one of the disciples, you know, the disciples asked him, how much should we have to forgive? And Jesus, 7 times? And Jesus said, not 7 times, but 7 times 70. In other words, there's no end to forgiveness. If we get to the end of somebody, a lot of times we're probably at the end of ourselves. And so I thank the Lord for Andy with all his problems. And I think like I said, we've got people that have problems, and they're maybe just a little bit different sometimes, and it kind of tests us sometimes, some of the things they do. But it's given us an opportunity. You know, can you just imagine Jesus walking in among us like he did, and having all these people that some were just out and out sinners and imperfect, and some were really religious and just perfect, you know, and he had to deal with all of them. And he loved them all. Because that's who he is. And he leaves that decision to us, whether when our tree falls, our life is gone, and our choices are done, You know, it's not because I said a prayer years ago and that makes me good. It's because God has turned me into what He wants me to be. And we can actually belong in heaven because we're like Him. And that's the opportunity we have today. Truly, I say unto you, to the extent that you've done it unto the one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. You know, next time we're tempted to be angry with somebody or get after somebody for their shortcomings, as we treat others, as we respond to our brothers, our sisters, people around us, just put Jesus in their place. Because however we're treating this person is how we're treating Him. We have, like I said, that comes from our heart. That's whenever we find that forgiveness that God is offering and realize it, turn around and give it to other people. You know, we've got to let people make their own decisions, and sometimes we don't always like them, the decisions they make, but we can still be merciful, and we can still be forgiving, and we can still be right there to help them pick up the pieces when something goes wrong. Anyway, I won't keep you too much today. Just wanted to take this time to remember this life that was among us. I don't know, one of the brothers said something about, you know, I'm not sure who's the less fortunate sometimes. You know, it's just, God is just so good just to look after people and take care of people. And I just look back on my own life and just how, you know, some of the dumb things that I've done. And God just guided me through them for some reason. A lot of the people in this room have had a good foundation laid. And, you know, and it's easy, like I said, just to trust on maybe that foundation. I tell our young people all the time, I mean, you've got to take this up for yourselves. You've got to be the person. I've told for years, you know, people have been all over the world and preached and talked, tried to start in churches and things, and people would say, well, come and build a church here. And I tell them, no, I'm not going to build a church here. It's your responsibility to be the church here. And it's just like, it's the same thing right now. I mean, nobody's going to do this for you. You can't expect your brethren or the church to carry you. You have to be the disciple of Christ and reflect His image to the world. May the Lord add His blessings to all the things that were said, and may we take them to heart. We'll, I think we'll go ahead and prepare to have the body removed over to the cemetery. Clayton, come on up here. We'll just start this front row here, and once we start out here, y'all can just follow. one of the things Andy requested was at one time that his name be on the casket. for some reason he wanted that known, so we're Clayton made this for him to put on it.